Hey guys, it's Emma
and Shannon,
and we're just popping in to say hi before our episode starts, and we have some very exciting news to share. Shannon, if you want to take it away.
Yes, I will. We had mentioned this previously, but we have actually updated our logo. So as of today, you can see our new logo on Spotify and all other podcasting sites. And we're super excited to share it with you all.
Yes. And then in the future, hopefully within the next few months, we'll be slowly releasing some merch, which we'll also add as a link and we'll announce on our podcast. And our friend Tiffany Wilson is the one who helped us design all of these things.
Yes, big shout out to Tiffany. Our logo came out great, and we're excited to share merch with you in the future, so keep an eye out for that.
Okay, and now we hope you enjoy the episode. Hey guys, it's Emma.
And Shannon.
And welcome back to our podcast, She's an Engineer.
Thanks for tuning in again this week. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the history of skyscrapers. And this podcast episode is actually going to be split into two pieces. So this is going to be part one, talking about the really introductory stages of building and engineering skyscrapers. And then part two is going to be more about the race to build the tallest building in the world and how that's continued over decades. So today's episode, we're going to talk about what skyscrapers are and then the history of the first few skyscrapers in the United States, which is actually the first skyscrapers in the world. So to start off, what are skyscrapers? Skyscrapers are defined as a multi-story building utilizing iron or steel frameworks. The name first came into use during the 1880s, shortly after the first skyscrapers were built in the United States. The development of skyscrapers came as a result of several technological and social developments. The term skyscraper originally applied to buildings of only 10 to 20 stories, but in the late 20th century, the term was used to describe high-rise buildings of very unusual heights, generally greater than 40 or 50 stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So next, we'll talk about the history of skyscrapers. So although the term skyscraper was coined in the 1880s, shortly after the first tall buildings were constructed in the United States, but the actual history of tall buildings dates back hundreds of years. So since the Middle Ages, engineers have engaged in a battle for the sky. Before there were skyscrapers, there were towers. These were made of heavy stone, and towers had thick, sturdy walls, but the rooms were dark and cramped, and too many windows would have weakened the structure. Soon, Gothic cathedrals also joined the quest for height. They had long stone arms called flying buttresses, which supported the cathedral's heavy weight and allowed the walls to be filled with colorful glass windows. The first actual skyscrapers were designed and constructed in Chicago, Illinois, in the late 19th century. And Chicago at that time was the boomtown of the U.S., and it was at the center of a new American adventure, and that new adventure was the West. In the year 1871, a large part of booming Chicago was destroyed as a major fire engulfed much of the downtown area.
Following the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, a new boom of construction revitalized the city's economy and completely transformed its skyline. In the 19th century, the Industrial Revolution resulted in the development of new techniques in building, and this is notably the use of iron and steel, which really transformed building design and allowed us to be able to build skyscrapers. So the construction of skyscrapers were made possible thanks to an Englishman named Harry Bessemer, who originally invented the first process to mass produce steel inexpensively. In 1855, Bessemer patented a decarbonization process utilizing a blast of air. This breakthrough in the production of steel opened the door for builders to start making taller and taller structures. It was with the refinement of the Bessemer process, which was first used in the United States in the 1960s, that allowed for the major advance in skyscraper construction. A similar process was also previously used for the construction of iron. But steel is a very strong and lighter in weight than iron, and the use of the steel frame allowed us to be able to construct very tall buildings. Modern steel today is still used using the technology based on the Bessemer process. Additionally important for the construction of skyscrapers was the invention of the elevator and the increase in urban commerce in the United States during the second half of the 19th century augmented the need for the city business space and the installation of the first safe passenger elevator, which was in a department store in New York City in 1857. And this made the erection of buildings taller than 4 or 5 stories tall, very practical.
Then in 1883, William LeBaron Jenney was appointed by the Home Insurance Company in New York to design a tall, fireproof building for their Chicago headquarters. His revolutionary design utilizes an inner skeleton of vertical columns and horizontal beams made out of steel. So this was in stark contrast to earlier structures, which were supported by heavy masonry walls. Steel was not only lighter than brick, but it could carry more weight. So with this new method of construction, lighter masonry walls could be hung a bit like curtains from the steel frame. As a result, the walls of the building didn't have to be as thick, and the structure could be much higher without collapsing under its own weight. So buildings with this type of frame could also have more windows, because the steel frame supported the building's weight and the stone or brick exterior merely acted as like a skin to protect against weather. Jenny's home insurance building was completed in 1885, and it originally had 10 stories and stretched 138 feet in the air. During its construction, city authorities were so worried that the building would topple over that they halted construction for a period of time so that they could ensure its safety. Then, in 1890, 2 additional floors were added to the top, bringing the total height to 180 feet. So, in addition to being the first of a new generation of steel-frame skyscrapers built in cities across America and the world, the building set the standard for various other building innovations, including rapid, safe elevators, wind bracing, and modern plumbing.
So Jenny's home insurance building that was constructed in 1885 was the first skyscraper built in the world. And Jenny's achievement paved the way for a group of architects and engineers that would become known as the Chicago School. And together they would develop modern skyscrapers all over the U.S. During the last years of the 19th century and into the first years of the 20th century. New York would later become known for taking skyscrapers to new heights. Chicago had still retained its title as the birthplace of the skyscraper, thanks to Jenny and the rest of the Chicago School. Many of the earliest skyscrapers were built in an architectural style that was known as the Chicago School because of their group. These steel frame structures often featured terracotta exteriors, plate glass windows, and detailed cornices. Architects associated with the Chicago School include Dankmar Adler, Daniel Burnham, who later designed the Flatiron Building in New York City, Louis Sullivan, who designed the Old Chicago Stock Exchange Building, Henry Hobson Richardson, and John Wellborn Root. Contrary to its name, the Chicago style reached far beyond the American Midwest, and buildings in the Chicago style were built as far away as Florida, Canada, and New Zealand. Although the first skyscrapers were relatively small by today's standards, they marked an important turn in urban construction and development. And now we're going to talk through some of the most notable structures in the early history of skyscrapers. So, as mentioned, Chicago was really the birthplace of the skyscrapers, so the first few skyscrapers were constructed there. The Tacoma Building was an early skyscraper in Chicago, and it was completed in 1889. It was also the first major building designed by the architectural firm Holabird and Roche. The Tacoma Building was demolished in 1929 to be replaced by One North LaSalle. a pioneering building of the Chicago School, the Tacoma building used a lot of iron and steel constructed for the first time, and they had all of the members fixed together by rivets. While internally supported by load-bearing walls, the two facades towards LaSalle Street and Madison Street are true curtain walls. And with this, the design went beyond Jenny's solution for his home insurance building.
Next, we'll talk about the Rand McNally Building, which was also in Chicago. It was also an early skyscraper at 160 to 174 Adams Street in Chicago. It was built in 1889 and then demolished in 1911. It was designed by Burnham and Root and was the world's first all-steel frame skyscraper. It was erected in 1889 at a cost of $1 million. It was 45 meters tall, had 10 stories, 16 stores, and 300 offices, but the main tenant was Rand McNally & Co., which were printers and publishers, and they had 900 employees. After being demolished in 1911, a larger building of that area still stands on the site.
The last building in Chicago we're going to talk about is the Masonic Temple Building, and this was designed by the firm of Burnham & Root and built at the corner of Randolph and State Street. The temple building rose 21 stories. When the clock tower was removed in 1885 from the Board of Trade building, in 1895, the Masonic Temple became the tallest in the city. The building was owned by Oriental Lodge number 33, and it still stands to this day.
So now we're going to start talking about different skyscrapers in New York City, which is now probably the skyscraper capital, I think, of the U.S. and probably of the world. So we're going to start by talking about Tower Building. So the Tower Building was a structure in the financial district of Manhattan, New York City, which was located at 50 to 52 Broadway. This was on a lot that extended east to New Street. It was arguably New York City's first skyscraper and the first building with a steel skeleton structure. So architect Bradford Gilbert filed plans for its construction on April 17, 1888. Then the construction was completed on September 27, 1889. And then it started getting demolished beginning in 1913.
Another New York City building is the American Surety Building. And this was also known as the Bank of Tokyo Building or 100 Broadway. This is an office building and early skyscraper at Pine Street and Broadway in the financial district of Manhattan, across from Trinity Church. The building was designed in a neo-Renaissance style by Bruce Pierce with a later expansion by Herman Lee Meter. It is 388 feet tall with either 23 or 26 stories. It was one of Manhattan's first buildings with steel framing and the curtain wall construction.
Another New York City building that we'll talk about is New York World Building. So the New York World Building was also known as the Pulitzer Building, and this was a building in the Civic Center of Manhattan in New York City along Park Row, between Frankfort Street and the Brooklyn Bridge. And it was part of Lower Manhattan's former Newspaper Row and was designed by George B. Post in the Renaissance Revival style. And it served as the headquarters of the New York World after its completion in 1890. The New York World Building was the tallest building in New York City upon its completion, and it became the first to overtop Trinity Church and was by some accounts the world's tallest building at that time.
Moving to the Midwest, the Wainwright Building in St. Louis, Missouri, also known as the Wainwright State Office Building, is a 10-story, 41-meter terracotta office building on Chestnut Street in downtown St. Louis. The Wainwright Building is considered to be one of the first aesthetically fully expressed early skyscrapers and is really well known for the terracotta exterior finish. It was designed by Dagmar Alder and Louis Sullivan and built between 1890 and 1891. and it was named for a local brewer, building contractor, and financier, Ellis Wainwright.
Going back to New York City, we're going to talk about the Flatiron Building, which still stands and is very famous in New York City. And the Flatiron Building, which was originally called the Filler Building, is a triangular 22-story, 285-foot-tall steel-framed landmark building at 175th Avenue in the eponymous Flatiron District neighborhood of Manhattan in New York City. It was designed by Daniel Burnham and Frederick P. Dinkelberg and was known in its early days as Burnham's Folly. The construction was completed in 1902, and it originally included 20 floors. The building sits on a triangular block that was formed by 5th Avenue, Broadway, and East 22nd Street, where the building's 87-foot back end is located, with East 23rd Street grazing the triangle's northern uptown peak. And the name Flatiron actually derives from its triangular shape, which recalls that of a cast iron clothes iron. I think it's one of the more interesting buildings in New York City, and it's definitely a famous landmark. I think there are obviously differently shaped buildings, like with modern construction, but I think it's the most historically interesting building in terms of its like structure, I think, in New York City.
I agree. I remember the first time I went to New York City and was really blown away with how skinny the triangular end gets at the end at the corners there. It's really impressive and like amazing to see in person.
Yeah.
Yes. So that wraps up the first generation of skyscrapers that we are going to talk about in today's episode. One thing I think is kind of interesting is a lot of these skyscrapers, including the first skyscraper in Chicago, the insurance building, that one ended up being demolished in 1931, and the LaSalle's building took its place. But a lot of these buildings ended up becoming demolished, and larger buildings were constructed in its place, which I think it's like cool that technologically we could advance the height of the buildings, but also kind of disappointing that we can't see a lot of these historic buildings in person anymore. And since the early days of skyscrapers, in particular since the Second World War, skyscrapers have mushroomed up all around the world in the world's biggest cities, and they keep getting higher and higher. Before the First World War, New York's Woolworth Building reached 792 feet, and by the Second World War, the Empire State Building, for many years that was the world's tallest building, actually passed the Eiffel Tower in height. And then, as we know, in the 1970s, the enormous twin towers of the World Trade Center at 107 stories high went even taller. And currently, the world's tallest building is the Burj Khalif, which is a mixed-use skyscraper in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, with a total height of 829.8 meters. Impressive.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the top of a skyscraper?
I think the tallest skyscraper I've been to the top of was the Freedom Tower, which now takes the place of the World Trade Center, and that's in New York City, and I believe I was on the 102nd or 103rd floor. It was like the observation deck. Oh, wow.
I don't think I've ever been up into the Freedom Tower. I don't think I've been up in like any of the New York City skyscrapers, even though I literally live right here. Like, I've never been to the Empire State Building. We did go to a building that was across the street from the Empire State Building, though. It had a really good view.
That's true.
Yeah, that was fun. I think the tallest skyscraper that I've been in is Taipei 101. When I was younger, it used to be, before the Burj Khalif was built, it used to be the tallest skyscraper in the world. And I think when I was younger, we did one of those things where we rode the elevator, one of those really fast elevators, like all the way up to the observation deck, which was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing we could talk about in a future episode, but the elevators, like how quickly they can take you to the top floor is so impressive. I remember the Freedom Tower is just a matter of minutes, and they had a whole video playing on all four walls of the elevator telling you about the construction of the Freedom Tower as you were going up to the observation deck.
Oh, that's cool. So interesting. Mm-hmm. If we ever do like a New York City trip again, I feel like we're gonna have to do like a skyscraper tour or something.
That would be really cool.
That's very engineering-y of us. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really interesting. Yeah, I like it too.
I think that wraps up today's episode. Please listen to part 2, which will be released in 2 weeks. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the race for the tallest building in the world. So it'll start off at the end of this episode and talk more about the Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building all the way to the Burj Khalifa, which we mentioned in today's episode. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.